Hi, today's October 28th, 2018. This is Mobius Podcast 273, a podcast about mostly nothing. It was nothing until we wrote a few things in the show notes, but it was literally empty, like an hour ago.
Yeah, usually there is a show note. So I usually log in, since we record this in the afternoon my time, I usually log in the morning to see what Todd has thought about, and there was nothing.
There was nothing.
This time.
There was not even a show note.
I was getting a little concerned, but then something came out of nothing, and your first something is actually something I noticed just yesterday, and I thought, wow, that is kind of interesting.
Yeah, so the first thing on our list is, I updated the only Mac I have left that can be updated to macOS Mojave, I don't know, a month ago, maybe more, whenever it came out. But I guess it was the first time I opened up the App Store today, the macOS App Store that is, and it was like totally different. I didn't know what I was looking at first. I thought I opened the wrong app.
And the odd thing is, so the screenshot you have also has that story about 1Password,
yeah,
which I looked at yesterday, which I thought was interesting. But the way that they redid the graphic for it, taking it out of the color scheme of 1Password, which is gray and blue, and putting this like starburst or sunburst yellow on it, was also a very strange thing. But that's a that's a completely different artistic note. But yeah, it's a much more minimalistic app store.
Yeah. And I'll post a screenshot on our the blog for this podcast, but it's, I literally didn't know what I was looking at. I thought I opened like some app news item or something.
Yeah, gone is the large grid of many apps that you could be thinking about, and now we've got these very simple 7 buttons on the left, and some featured stories and
3 to be exact
curated apps. Yeah.
Yeah, so the at least on my screen, that's, you can scroll down and see some. I guess it's an app grid, but all I saw were 3 big tiles. One says unlock 1Password full potential. Second was apps that look great in dark mode, and I am in dark mode, so that was interesting. And the third is vector drawing with an affinity, which I've been kind of considering buying for the iPad Pro, but it's $20. I need to think about it. Anyway. So if you haven't opened your macOS App Store after your Mojave upgrade, don't be shocked when you do, because it's
interesting. I'll be curious to see if it kind of revitalizes app discovery a little bit more, which I think is what they're going for. If you know what you're looking for on the Mac App Store, you go straight to search. But if you just open it periodically and say, what apps are out there that I've never played with?
Right.
It's good to have something that's a little bit more welcoming than overwhelming.
Yeah. And I should note that I am in dark mode, so, it looks different to begin with, having a dark background versus a white background. So I think that may have been part of my disorientation when I opened the store.
Now, here's what I'm curious about. I'm in dark mode as well right now, but I'm going to switch over to, the light side of the force, for a moment. Because I'm just curious if I'm also going to get that apps that look great in dark mode.
Ah.
I wonder if Apple is
apps that look great in light mode.
regular apps, that look good in other ways. So I'm opening up the App Store right now, and apps that look great in dark mode is on mine as well.
Okay.
So even when you're in the light, Apple is still trying to drag you into the darkness.
The dark side.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay, speaking of the dark side, let's talk about AT&T. So AT&T bought Warner Media, which people may remember as Time Warner, but there's a whole complicated notion of what's Time Warner and what's a various bunch of things. Anyway, Time Warner, as we know it, no longer exists, I think, right? So so the cable side, which was used to be called Time Warner Cable, split off years and years ago, and that is now part of Spectrum, which Charter bought about 2 years ago, I think, 3 years ago maybe. And Warner Media, which owned the content, was purchased by AT&T, of all things. So Verizon bought Yahoo, which is now Oath, which I don't like saying. I think that word sounds funny. And it also bought some other content stuff. But AT&T bought Warner Media. And one of the first things they did a couple of weeks ago is, without any notification, they shut down one of my favorite streaming video services, Drama Fever. So Drama Fever, for people who don't know, was streaming legally. You know, it was owned by Warner Media, so they paid licenses and so forth. Streamed legally TV shows and movies from all over the world, and in particular Asia. So if you're interested in Korean or Japanese or Chinese video content, that's one of the good places to go. And suddenly, I don't know, I forget, a couple of weeks ago, they just suddenly shut down with no notification to its subscribers like me. I was in the middle of watching a series, which I now can't finish. But at any rate, in addition to Drama Fever, last week, they shut down something called Filmstruck, which I think I'd heard of, but not been a subscriber, which focused on indie films. So at least those folks are getting until the end of November, I think, to watch whatever they're watching. Although indie films tend not to be serialized, so I don't think that's a problem for them. But, you know, if you're like me, I'll sometimes watch half a movie and go do something and come back to it. And, well, anyway. So,
That's not an option for you on your series anymore. That is very depressing that you had no notification, couldn't even try to hyper-watch that series.
They just binge it in one day or something, you know? Mm-hmm. I guess I can find how it ended by go reading the synopsis, but that's not the same. Anyway, so that's kind of sad. You know, basically, AT&T is imploding content services it bought from, it got when it bought Warner Media. Mm-hmm. So who knows what's next? Sad. I'm sad.
Frustrating, too, when there's no other legal way to get the content.
Yeah. So I really wasn't going to talk much about this because I've been trying to not speculate as much as I normally do, which is a lot. but John added it, so let's talk about Apple's October 30th event, which is, what is it called again?
I don't know what their tagline is this time for it. But so there are some interesting things about this event. The last week, there's been intrigue. First of all, we've got these rumors that Apple has not invited Bloomberg Media because they are still holding a grudge after the Chinese chip story.
Yeah.
So that's kind of an interesting move. But then we've often talked to here about our love of a couple of Apple products that don't get a lot of love from Apple.
Yeah, actually the none.
The iPad Mini, which has not seen a refresh in 3 years now, something like that. Yeah. And the iPad or the Mac Mini, which also has something like we've got to be around 1,300 days or so on the Mac Mini now. I'll look it up as we're talking. But all of the rumors or the websites that are talking about rumors this weekend are pointing out a report, which is, of course, speculation, that both the iPad Mini and the Mac Mini are going to be refreshed at this event, as well as the iPad Pro, which is not too surprising. Maybe a low-cost Retina notebook and maybe a new MacBook. And it would be very interesting, I think, for the iPad Mini, for example, which has 586 days since its last release in March of 2017. And the Mac Mini makes 500 days seem nothing because it's at 1,473 days.
4 years ago.
October 2014.
Yep.
So, you gonna race out and buy a new iPad Mini and a new Mac Mini?
No. Well, okay. Let's take them separately. Let's start with the Mac Mini. I think the Mac Mini is a no because the other thing you alluded to a few minutes ago, the possibility of a new lower or low cost MacBook of some kind, is probably more interesting to me.
Okay.
You know, as I mentioned, I've got 4 or 5 Macs in the house. And let's see how many are running, the iMac, the MacBook Pro, and this one. So I've got 3 functional Macs. I've got a dead Mac Mini, so let's not count that poor thing. But I've got, and the MacBook, the MacBook G4, it boots, but you know, that's about all it does. You can't update it to anything. You can't even install Firefox on it. I'm definitely not going to buy a new Mac Mini. I will consider a MacBook if it's under 900. If it's under 800, it's almost a done deal. As far as an iPad Mini 5, if it supports the pencil, it's a yes. I mean, that gets pre-ordered the day if it's announced at that time. How about you, John?
Well, that's the frustration I had. So with the Mac Mini, take it starting, my Mac Mini, like yours, died. Yeah. Literally just wouldn't boot one day.
Yeah.
And I've not bothered to try to figure out. And as I mentioned on the podcast before, I then went out and bought a QNAP NAS unit, which has become my home server.
Yep.
I'm very happy with it over the last year that I've had it. I bought a second one for a backup site. And I have them kind of replicate to each other. So I do not see myself going for a Mac Mini.
Yep.
Unfortunately. Now, if it was this time last year, which was just about the time my Mac Mini died, then yeah, definitely. The iPad Mini is a little bit more vexing of an issue for me. So I had a bunch of iPads at one point, and I was using an iPad Mini probably the most out of all of them. It was my reading device. It was the device that I had next to my bedside. I'd watch videos on it. I would play games on it, etc. Well, when I went through the great iPad purge and sold off all my iPads and bought an iPad Pro, I thought it was going to take me a while, and it took me maybe a couple of weeks to get used to a full-size iPad again for everything. But once I did, I became pretty enamored with the idea that I didn't have multiple devices to lug around. I only had the one. Now, a new iPad Mini that had pencil support and was maybe an iPad Mini Pro in a sense would be very, very tempting. I don't know if I would be like you, pre-order it the first day, but it would be a very tempting thing for me. But a low-cost iPad Mini, making the iPad Mini the budget iPad in a sense, just really doesn't appeal to me at all.
Yeah, I agree. If it's an iPad Mini 5, which is, you know, it has maybe a slightly nicer screen, maybe it has or even worse, maybe it has a slightly worser screen. you know, instead of going with you know, a really nice screen, maybe they go cheap to reduce the price, and maybe it has a faster processor, probably not interesting. At some point when my iPad Mini 4 dies, and I hope it doesn't, but if it ever dies or it can't be upgraded, I suspect next iOS cycle can't be upgraded, then I would get an iPad Mini 5, you know, that is basically a evolutionary versus revolutionary change. But like I said, if it has a pencil support, I'm good. I really would like to do that. You know, in fact, the other day I recharged my Pencil by 53, and one of the sad things I learned, it's not in our show notes, but it just kind of brings it up. And the reason I brought it, I booted or recharged it, is because, maybe I'll give it another chance. And, you know, I'll fuss with it on my iPad Mini since I don't have a pencil for it. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I learned is that first, the 53 people got bought by another company. And one of the first things that happened after the merger, and this is, I think the merger completed like 2 weeks ago, they dropped support. They dropped Pencil by 53 completely. It's not even available for purchase anymore.
Huh.
And there's...
That is very sad.
Yeah. And even sadder is Pencil by 53, which is a Bluetooth stylus that was relatively inexpensive. I think I picked mine up for like $40. Mm-hmm. Support for it was dropped by many third-party companies that used to support it. So, for example, Microsoft OneNote used to support it. They dropped support, I think, last year. I didn't realize that because I don't use OneNote on my iPad. And I think Procreate, which is my favorite drawing app, dropped support for it. And in fact, I think the only thing I found that does still support it is a Paper by 53, you know, which was their flagship product. So that was super disappointing. You know, basically, it's just a rubber-tipped passive stylus except for Paper by 53.
That is somewhat depressing, but I think it's an interesting... Obviously, they know what their sales numbers are, but I think it's very interesting because it might mean that in the stylus market, if you're not an Apple Pencil, who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, we do know that. I would never say that my I also have the Pencil by 53, and I've had other styluses, and honestly, the Apple Pencil is much better than any of the other ones that I've used, but there were niche scenarios, like when I couldn't use an Apple Pencil, on my iPad Mini, where I did like the Pencil by 53, and I still have in my little bag of frequent stuff I throw, kind of the staging bag for when I travel, tech stuff that comes with me, I still have the Pencil by 53 in there. So that's kind of sad to see it go, but I think it's an indicator that the Apple Pencil is kind of the best stylus, I think, today on the market if you're on an iPad.
Yeah, and the other interesting thing is, I'm not sure I knew this when it was announced, but Logitech's Crayon for the iPad is literally only for the new iPad. It does not work with an iPad Pro or anything else that's not the new, iPad Air replacement, which I think it's just called iPad now. So that's not an alternative either. I thought, I wonder if it works with iPad Mini, because it's like $70-something, so that would be kind of interesting. But nope, that's not it. Okay, and we're back. So I'm going to have to remember to catenate the two audio files together. Now, there's a word you probably don't hear too often.
I came across this article earlier today, and I thought it was interesting just because I hang out with a lot of younger millennials and iGen individuals. And it's basically a finding that 44% of 18 to 29-year-olds last year deleted the Facebook app off of their phone. Which is interesting in that it's one of the default apps, and so you would expect it to be less likely someone would go out of their way to delete it.
Yeah.
But it's interesting how that generation sort of views Facebook. And with the controversy that Facebook has had over the last couple of years, I wonder if this is now a sign of Facebook truly becoming just for more of a utility purpose than an actual sharing purpose. I think Facebook, obviously, in the last 10 years, has become much more important to getting a hold of people than their personal email address.
Yeah.
You get a hold of people much easier on there. People are more likely to use it and check it versus, email that they might lose or drop or stop checking. But for its actual purpose of social networking and sharing what you're doing and engaging in conversation, I wonder if people are starting to move away from it for that purpose and now just see it as sort of the digital yellow pages or white pages.
Well, a couple of comments, I guess. And that's one, I'm kind of looking at the article now, and I should mention that the first thing is, I was kind of suspicious of the whole study, and then I read it's by Pew Research, who does, in my opinion, pretty good work. So I thought, then I'm not going to question its methodology too much. They seem to do pretty good work, in my opinion. So the next question is, I'm looking at, did they ask them why they dropped remove the app? And I don't think I see that. They just say they don't ask why, which would have been kind of interesting. So, the other comment I have is that I thought they had done that a long time ago. No, seriously, I thought that young people stopped using Facebook 4 or 5 years ago.
Well, it's interesting, stop not using it is different than uninstalling it.
Okay.
Uninstalling it is an active sort of screw you to the app, in a sense.
Right.
You're here, you're taking up space, I don't want you here anymore.
Right.
That's what I found interesting about it the most, was that they were removing it, they're deleting it, versus just not using it.
Yeah. So I guess the question is, are they still using Facebook but deleted the app? Or is the act of deleting the app also saying, I'm not using Facebook anymore? Which is two different things. I know some people who've removed the app from their phone because of one of two reasons. A, it's using too much power, which it does. Or B, they just found it was too distracting. And so they still use Facebook, but they don't do it, on the move or during the day. Just do it like once a day at night or something.
Mm-hmm. And I suspect they're still using it here and there. But I don't think, obviously Facebook sort of made its name as you're going to post things mobile.
Right.
Social networking was one of the first things that had good, strong mobile apps.
Right.
So even if they're still using it, I think this is still kind of a blow to how Facebook would like you to use their service.
Right. And let's see, how's Facebook's, you know, well, everything's been tanking the last couple of weeks. But I'm sure, oh yeah, Facebook has not been doing well at all. Not well at all. Yikes. So Facebook's share stock price is currently as of Friday, it was $145.37. Its 52-week high was $218.62. So it's had quite a drop. That's about $50. About 25% drop in its value sometime in the last year. Anyway, but everything's dropping lately, so not sure what that means in a bigger scheme of things. What's your thoughts, John? I mean, you hang around with a bunch of college-age students. Do they seem
what
like...
What I see is they don't share things on Facebook very often. If they do, it's that they're at their computer and they're noticing things. What I see is everyone still has a Facebook, but it's more of a way that you communicate and connect with people. You know, it's the equivalent of a personal email address. Mm. I need to get a hold of you, and I don't know your cell phone number. Right. I can't text you, but I can send you a message on Facebook.
Right. Interesting. And I also know people who have Facebook installed, but not Facebook Messenger.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another, you know, I guess it's less intrusive to operate that way.
I also think that's just some people who were very angry when Messenger split out, and they just won't install it out of principle.
I was that one of those people, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally installed it because some friends, you know, communicate that way, but yeah. I was really mad when they split it out. Okay, last item. Another one that John pointed out. In fact, John put it in just before I was about to put it in. So, starting today, October 28th, the U.S. Copyright Office, which controls digital rights management kind of things, said that you can break DRM for certain activities. What do you think, John?
Well, I think this is definitely a big win for people who, once they have bought a license to use software, would like to be able to use it for as long as they'd like.
Mm-hmm. And hardware.
The point that this came out of was that if you are, you know, using an old video game and you want to still play it or you want to still work with it, you have to have the hardware that it runs on. You mm-hmm. can't port it to newer things because you break the DRM. I think it's a nice win for consumers. This also comes with the right to repair, which right. I also think is a very good thing for consumers. And while I completely get sort of the desire by companies like Apple to ensure that the user experience during a repair is uniform and that people have devices that work and that they don't have devices that break security or break other things, it's just not the right way to go about it by saying only we can do the repairs.
Yeah, and I should note, you know, one of the categories of devices that this right to break DRM does not apply to are game consoles. So you might recall a couple of, I think it was, he was then a student at MIT who famously broke jailbroke, so to speak, Xbox, and, you know, got in and was able to hack it hardware-wise, too. You still can't do that. So phones, yes. Game consoles, no. Well, we'll see. Maybe there'll be more repair options now. And that's especially important for folks with non-Apple phones. If you have an Apple iPhone and you live near an Apple store, it's pretty easy to get stuff repaired in a reasonable way, at a reasonable cost, I think. But if you have anything else but an iPhone, boy, trying to get something repaired is a nightmare.
Yeah, that is very true.
Yeah. Okay, so, well, we got about a half an hour out of our podcast about nothing. You know, there really wasn't
much. It was a good
much.
Half hour.
Yeah, there really wasn't much.
I'll be interested to see what happens this week with the Apple announcement to see what's true and what isn't, and I suspect we'll have some things to talk about next week with it.
Yeah, I hope it's not like the Microsoft announcement where, you know, there's a whole lot of nothing announced.
Mm-hmm.
The Google announcement is quite interesting, although the only thing I ordered from that list of products Google announced was the $30 earbuds, which still hasn't arrived, by the way. So I'm still waiting for my $30 USB-C earbuds. All right. Well, if Apple announces... But the other thing I read, by the way, is Apple announces an iPad mini something upgrade. It won't be available till next year for some reason. But again, just rumor.
Would be interesting to see.
Yeah. Okay, so let's see. Today's the 28th, so we're 2 days away from the Apple announcements. John and I will regroup in the next week or two, depending on his schedule and my schedule, and we'll more than likely talk all about whatever they announce on the 30th. You know what? Mm-hmm. I did not go look up what their tagline, because it was really a weird tagline. Let's see. Apple October event 2018, and the tagline is what? The tagline is something... Wow, can't find it. The other interesting thing was apparently people who got the invite to the event got unique invites. Everybody got a unique invite, which I thought was interesting. Still looking, hang on. Tagline. Oops. Tagline. Their tagline is, there's more in the making. And well, I have been jokingly saying they're going to introduce a 3D printer, but probably not.
That would be very interesting. I think we'd have a lot to talk about with that.
Yeah. And I really want a 3D printer, by the way. I just haven't pulled the trigger on one yet. So if Apple announces one, maybe I'll get one. Okay, John, thanks for bearing with me. And I don't know what happened to our audio in the middle, but I will splice together our two audio files and we will talk to you next time.